make way for the traitor. Traitor to all of France.
Reverse the polarity.
Take him to Madame Guillotine.
Reverse the polarity.
Get him lying down there.
Reverse the polarity.
The traitor is dead. Oh, no.
Reverse the polarity.
Oh, my God. The head of Pertwee lives.
In my mind's eye there, I was imagining flags with just the head of Pertwee on there.
Everyone's,
being
raised, everyone's just saluting.
Slightly fluttering in the breeze.
Spotlight.
Yeah.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Staggering Stories Podcast 503. Ooh. I'm Adam.
I'm Fake Keith.
I'm Jay.
I'm Aster Man.
And I, yes, I am...
A splat on the rectum of life.
Ew.
You annoyed me today. You deserve no better.
Well, all I have to say, after that French accent,
I do deserve it.
Pissing by the guillotine.
Yes.
I don't want to, it's sharp.
Sharpen your pencil.
Yes.
Yes. Oh, well, without further ado, it's the news from El Presidente.
Doctor Who news. The war between now, due on Disney Plus in 2027. With Disney Plus still not having released the fishy Doctor Who spin-off, The War Between the Land and the Sea, we now have its star, Russell George Tovey, confidently declare it will appear in 2027. The BBC broadcasts the five-part series at the end of 2025, originally suggesting it will be available to international viewers via Disney Plus in early 2026. That clearly came and went with no official word from Disney at all. That remains the case. Some were beginning to speculate that Disney might never show the series, perhaps using it as a tax write-off. According to an interview by the Radio Times with Tovey, he said, "It's coming out on Disney Plus next year, which I'm excited to see because no one over there has seen it internationally. It's definitely happening." Time will tell if he is correct. We can probably expect Disney to bury it even if it does appear, though.
Yeah, that's the best we could hope for Doctor Who news at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah, not much to go around.
No.
But yeah, him claiming nobody can see it internationally.
I think
a lot of VPNs were used.
Yeah. I think the people who wanted to see it have seen it.
Yes, Disney are not going to get great viewing things for that.
Not now. Not now. Blade Runner 2029 TV series coming in November.
2099.
Got quite a wait for that.
Amazon Prime has released the trailer for their upcoming Blade Runner TV series. All 8 episodes will drop on the 25th of November. Set 50 years after the most recent film in a Los Angeles after a replicant uprising that sees those humans who haven't left for the colonies now living as second-class citizens. An expiring replicant Blade Runner and her partner must hunt down a gang of rogue replicants. The cast is led by Michelle Yeoh and Hunter... I'm going to mangle this. Hunter Shathar.
You did mangle that.
I did. I did. Dave, as of recording, we've just had San Diego Comic-Con.
Yes.
So a whole lot of trailers have dropped, and I've seen the trailer for this one.
I saw it too, and I didn't really know what to make of it.
Yeah, yeah.
It wasn't very coherent.
There are familiar things you recognise, like the police scanner.
Yeah.
That, but the vehicle, but that's the only I only realised that it might be something connected with Blade Runner.
Yeah.
RoboCop news.
Oh yeah.
Ooh. RoboCop. Amazon might maybe make a TV series. Amazon may have made a Blade Runner series, but their track record with other MGM projects, such as Stargate and James Bond, haven't been so good at getting productions going. Yeah. Perhaps RoboCop will buck that trend, as Amazon has greenlit a streaming TV series. Again, it's 8-episode series, though not one you should expect to see this year. The corporate monster that is Amazon had this to say on the franchise. Its themes of humanity versus technology and the consequences of unchecked corporate power feel more relevant today than ever, making it the ideal property to reimagine for a new era of television.
The irony of Amazon saying that.
Yes. Yeah. It's in its early days, so besides a showrunner in the form of Peter Ockel, little of real interest is currently known.
Okay.
So we'll see.
We're in a pessimistic mood tonight, aren't we?
Yes.
Well, it just sticks in my mind that this is the company that banned 1984.
Well, they stole it back off people's Kindles,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm. Although Sony are doing a similar thing with video films and stuff.
Well, I think there was a Trek culture thing that is on YouTube somewhere saying that there is the death of physical media. They may not release Star Trek V on a Star Trek series. Wait a minute. Star Trek Strange New Worlds series 4 and 5 on video, on DVD.
Really? Let's see, I've certainly got the first, on 4K Snap Blu-ray. So,
well, you can't complete it now, potentially.
But they may not release it.
Well, that seems in that case there are other means. They want my money. We'll see, but I don't know. I think there's increasing backlash, particularly with Sony recently saying they're going to stop doing physical media for PlayStation 5 and 6, presumably.
Yeah.
Grand Theft Auto 6 is coming out. I've been waiting 10 years for it.
Yeah, but they may not produce a physical disc.
No, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Well, they're not going to.
Oh, but there's nothing on it. It's
just the box.
That's basically a blank disc with stub on it.
I want my things that I can play when they've discontinued them.
Yeah.
I'm still very physical media.
We're all very old.
Yeah. Oh, I acknowledge that. But
I think even younger people are starting to see.
Yeah.
Hang about. I liked that and I'd like to watch it again.
I bought that. Why have you taken it back?
Yeah. Pay good money and you don't give me a refund. You just take it out of my. Yeah.
Kind of the opposite of what Apple Music did, wasn't it? iTunes. They gave U2's album when they didn't want it.
All right. So, Marvel Comic Con announcements.
Oh, yeah.
Marvel, we've just recently had San Diego Comic Con this past weekend, so there's a lot of news that came out of there. Marvel is trying to make a bit of a comeback, with their hopes pinned on a massive Avengers Doomsday opening at the cinemas in December, which will actually be released on my birthday, so that's birthday present.
Yeah.
At the recent SDCC, they laid out some of their upcoming plans, including Ryan Thomas Gosling will star in a new Ghost Rider film.
Bring back Nicolas Cage.
Ryan Kyle Coogler's back in the directing chair for Black Panther 3. This will star British actor and one-time Big Finish actor David Johnson as the new Black Panther. Ooh. He's going to be the young Prince T'Challa, who we saw at the end of the previous Black Panther movie. So there's expected to be a little bit of a time jump there. And Ricky Reynolds was up and about in costume in the character as grey Canadian tuxedo Deadpool.
Yes.
Just adding a little bit there, hinting that he will appear in the upcoming Avengers Doomsday.
Why are you middle naming everyone? Has the world just pissed you off?
I think they all deserve to be up in the dock.
I added the Ricky there because when he was he turned up and he was a bit of a story for this. He was wandering around the San Diego Comic-Con floor as a Deadpool all in jeans. It's made out of denim. Mm-hmm. And that's why I call it Canadian tuxedo, because that is the term for that. Yes.
We learned something.
Yeah. Yes. Well, but that's what you get for having a resident Canadian on there.
Yes, yeah. Dear.
And also there was a Canadian flag on the actual suit itself.
Oh, okay.
And he attended the Avengers Doomsday.
No. I think. No, he gate crashed.
Oh, I mean, but attending.
They were doing a question and answer session. Yes, he was in the audience.
He gate crashed the Q and A, but he attended the session, and that's when he said his name was Ricky and had a lot of questions for things, and that's where all of this kind of stuff came from.
Okay. Yeah,
they had the Chris agenda a while back, and everybody they employed had to be called Chris. Now it's Ryan. You've got Ryan Gosling, Ryan Coogler, Ryan Reynolds. Yeah. What's going on with them?
The three Ryans.
Well, I'm just wondering, with this new Ghost Rider film, how does that marry up with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.? Because there is a different Ghost Rider in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and it's meant to be part of the Marvel Universe.
Well, it was at the beginning then, I think they dropped that idea drifted further and further from the MCU as it went along, I think.
Yes, it's sort of gone off in its own separate timeline, Earth 616A or whatever.
Yeah.
I have a sad addendum for those of us who grew up in the 70s.
Yeah.
Bill Oddie has died.
Dead.
85 years old.
Good innings.
All right, very good innings. Yeah. Cut his teeth at Footlights in Cambridge and was one of three awesome folk known as the Goodies who took slapstick to a new level and wrote some brilliant songs.
Yeah.
I particularly think we should play Father Christmas, Do Not Touch Me in honour of Bill Oddie.
Wrong time of year, really.
It is, rather.
Perhaps, but
the Doctor Who link is that he played Red Jasper in the big Finnish recording of Doctor Who and the Pirates.
Oh, he did,
starring
the musical.
Colin Baker.
The all-singing Colin Baker.
The Colin Baker. Another bit of our childhood has gone.
Only one of them left now.
Yeah.
As I was saying to the guys earlier, the person who drew the picture of the Queen with Paddington when the Queen died has drawn a picture of the Goodies Trandum with a Union Jack shirt at the front for Tim Brooke Taylor, the Goodies yellow shirt at the back for Bill Oddie, and Graham Garden in the middle looking very sad and worried.
Well, yes. He's guaranteed to be in the next one.
Well, yeah.
I have an addendum.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Cast your mind back to the merry, merry mists of time last year.
Okay.
Oh. When Lego brought out the Enterprise D. The Enterprise D ship, which was something like 3,000 bricks.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say pounds. Okay.
Well, I think it may have been 3,000 pounds as well.
I think it's about 500 or something, wasn't it?
Lego has revealed its latest Star Trek set.
Okay.
You can get the original bridge, complete with crew and transporter room.
It looks so
in
cool.
Lego.
Yeah, okay. It does. I've seen this one as well.
It's got all the little. It's all got all the little bridge crew. It's so sweet.
And what I do love about it, it's made from 1,701 pieces.
Right.
But it has all manner of things. You have the film set, so it's half the bridge basically. With the view screen, and you also have an add-on transporter room at the side.
Okay.
You have the captain's chair rocks in any direction so you can recreate the turbulence. It has a little button to open the lift doors and a little twirly thing to make the transporter work.
The only thing that's missing, in my opinion, is there is no little bit of cheese for Spock to feed to his science station.
Cheese.
He always put a little yellow lump of cheese in
his computer. The wafers.
Yeah,
the computer wafers. It comes with two Vulcan lerpers.
Ooh.
But you know what that is.
It's the staff.
Yeah, staff, right.
Yeah, the two Vulcan lerpers, one Trident scanner, the scanner with the three prongs that Scotty always used.
Okay,
I'm sure I recognise we saw it, but okay.
And four, count them, four tribbles.
Oh, yes.
Well, you start with four.
Yeah. Collect the set.
Is Uhura, do you have to glue her down? She's not allowed to leave the ship, is she?
Ooh.
Season 3, she doesn't leave the ship at all?
No, she does. She does.
Season three.
Which one is it? She gets kissed.
That was the games. Was it the games of Triskelion?
Plato's stepchildren.
I was read somewhere she didn't leave the ship.
No,
entirely
she did.
Season
she did
three.
Beam it down. Not often, yeah. I admit, but yeah. She beamed down a couple of times. Okay.
Considering what happened to other people wearing red, well, do you blame true. Her? Yeah.
The price tag. All I have is dollars at the moment, but the price tag is $199, and you can get it September 1st.
Okay, not very far away.
Okay.
Do you have an addendum?
I've got lots of addendums. Ooh. Yes, okay. I think I'm now up to 4 addendums now.
He's got a list.
Okay, so the first one, we mentioned we didn't have any new Doctor Who content, but we do actually have. We did actually get some new TARDIS content. The Commonwealth Games opening featured a small little skit with Chris Hoy having a little bit of a thing trying to get the King and Queen of England to the Commonwealth Games.
The opening ceremonies,
And number 7 looking rather sad.
Yes, we did actually get a little bit of a surprise appearance from Sylvester McCoy there. So
someone has come up with already a mock-up of a Big Finish audio cover. Big Finish starring His Majesty King Charles III, and it's the King front and centre and the Doctor and the Queen behind. And he is a bit of a fan, so I mean, that picture we found of him holding the sonic screwdriver with a look of absolute joy on his face.
And that was really them coming out of the TARDIS at the end of the real event.
Yes.
Though not them earlier, I don't think.
No.
No.
Okay, second addendum. So this is a Star Wars related one. Seth Green had, way back, like 14 years ago, worked with George Lucas to create an animated series called Star Wars Detours.
Yes.
And that had been shelved since the acquisition. By Disney.
Yeah.
With the opening of the Lucas Museum this September in Los Angeles, it's actually going to get released. Don't know yet if it is going to make it to any streaming services.
But you just have to go there to see it.
Yes. But, I mean, it included a cast that had some pretty big names to it. Seth Green himself, Felicia Day, Donald Faison from Scrubs, Seth MacFarlane, Andy Richter, Jennifer Hale, and Zach Levy. And it's a sort of Simpson-styled animated series for the Star Wars universe.
Be honest, Adam. After the Orange Moron has gone, next time we'll be in America, we would go to the Lucas Museum.
I've probably been to where that's going to be, because I have been to their actual offices.
Yeah.
You spent to go into the lobby and add all the stuff in there.
Okay. Yeah.
I'll just interrupt you for a moment. Me and Keith nearly became the owners of TARDIS.
Almost, yeah.
There was an auction.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought, what the hell? So I put my bid down, and right up until the last day, I was the top bid, and I was thinking, oh, God, actually, this is going to be a thing. And then on the last day, someone...
Sniped you.
Outbid me quite thoroughly.
Significantly.
I was happy with it because they bid more than I was ever going to bid. So, I had my set how high I would go.
Yeah.
And
so we're talking full-size police box.
Full-size police
with, box. With the lamp working and the phone working.
Phone working?
Yeah.
As in, who could you call? Not Ghostbusters, but... I mean, it was actually connected up to, a landline? Or?
Oh, no, it just rang.
Oh.
And it was a proper old,
Okay. But you just had that new wall built in your garden.
But that's the thing, it would fit perfectly next to it, nice and snug. But he said he'd be cross, but I know that I'd come downstairs from work and go, where is your father? He's in the TARDIS.
How would you get it out in your back garden?
They deliver.
Yeah, but does it come flat pack?
You'd assume.
Yeah,
right,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it does.
Because otherwise it's going in the front garden. Yeah.
All right. Back to addendums. Did you guys ever see Dark Matter from Apple TV at all?
I've started watching it.
Okay.
Got 2 or 3 episodes in.
Okay. If you're not familiar with it, it's somewhat of a Sliders-esque type story where we're dealing with parallel worlds and stuff. And just the I enjoyed the first season based on the book as well. And the showrunner is, I think the showrunner is actually the author of the book. So it's been pretty close to the thing. And that's coming. They've had another teaser trailer released, and that was done at Comic-Con as well. And that's returning August 28th.
Okay.
Last one, which is a bit of a sad sad one. Actually just heard this on the 6 o'clock news today.
Yeah.
The iconic Jodrell Bank telescope.
Oh yes.
The third largest steerable radio telescope in the world, and of course seen in the Doctor Who TV story Logopolis, has lost its funding and faces closure.
No. They're gonna dismantle the whole thing.
Mm. Wow.
I'm hoping our new Prime Minister might be able to reverse this.
Yeah, well,
because it was funding cut from the sciences.
Yeah, I mean I mean did they actually say they were gonna dismantle it? I mean, certainly the bit that I saw was they're not going to be continuing to do any research, but it is listed as a UNESCO World Heritage Site.
Well, then they can't, so they can't dismantle it.
Dismantling it is going to be a little bit difficult, but they're certainly not going to be continuing any more research from there.
Sad. So, no one will be able to jump from it again.
Yes.
Another bit of sad news.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
Okay.
Tom Chadbon, otherwise known as Duggan in the City of Death, has died.
Dead.
And that's pretty much all I know.
He did City of Death, the mysterious planet.
He did
an episode of Out of the Unknown, didn't he? Was that the last series in colour? Very niche audience, that.
Yeah.
Considering a lot of the episodes don't exist.
But all that is left to say is... bye-bye, Duggan.
Bye-bye, Duggan.
Bye-bye, Duggan.
Yeah.
That I'm out of addendums, unless Keith has one
more. I have one final addendum et that I just remembered. As the time of recording, Star Trek Strange New Worlds has started streaming again. With its first episode of Season 4.
Mm-hmm.
And there was one slight mention of something in there.
Yes.
And which I'm now putting the shout out to, as we don't have any Star Trek currently being made, mm-hmm. and as we don't have any Doctor Who currently being made, I'm doing a shout out to Big Finish that they now really need to do the Pella stories.
Pella
stories.
Because
there is a reference in Strange New Worlds from Pella that the last time she saw a space-time event like this, she was in a phone box.
Yeah. But
they have made reference before.
It could have been a different phone box.
No,
it could have been Bill and Ted's phone box.
Yeah. No, couldn't, because that was a phone booth. Not a phone box.
Oh, right, then I'll let you have that one.
And that's the end of the news.
Thank goodness.
We haven't even started reviewing anything yet. Do, the funky gibbon. The funky gibbon. We are here to show you how.
The funky gibbon. The funky gibbon. It's just like you. So come on, do the funky gibbon now.
Right, before we go on to actually doing the stuff we've reviewed, we have what's hopefully going to be a temporary new segment.
Oh, yeah.
One of us, our body has decided to fight us. So one of us is in hospital and will be for a little while. But we want to let you know what's going on. So here is the first episode of Gene Watch. Okay, Gene unfortunately is in the critical care unit at the Queen Elizabeth Hospital in London she's had quite a major operation, cancer treatment, unfortunately. She's going to be in there for a little while. She's not very well at all, but she raised an eyebrow and gave permission for us to tell you all this, and actually a smirk as well. So is she going to be all right? Yes, she's going to be all right, because we have made it clear to her that any alternatives are unacceptable.
Indeed.
She is wearing the flappiest, backless gown known to man.
It was quite a horrific sight.
I tell you, if the woman could cartwheel, her buttocks would be flapping in the breeze.
There's in front of a fan as well.
It all gets blown out of proportion.
She's spending her days at the moment listening to various podcasts and things. She's actually, I think, catching up on the one she's actually in. In all honesty, she'll be fine. She's just very weak at the moment. Yeah. It was a heck of an operation, and we hope that everything that has to be tested is tested and is found to be absolutely fine. And if anyone would like to send her love, just write to us via show
at staggeringstories.net.
Woohoo!
Do you think we could get Crumbly to design some sort of artwork with Jean in her open-back night?
Well, if Crumbly wants to live, because once she's back on her feet, she'll be as formidable as always.
But if we cleverly turn it into a Get Well Soon card, it's legit.
Yeah,
opens
yeah.
up at the back of the gown.
And while she's still weak, yes, that would be legit. But then I'll tell her that it was your idea to make Crumbly do it. So you'd be a dead man.
Can you specifically say it had nothing to do with me?
And Keith laughed and said yes.
No!
And Jay's just wet himself. Anyway, we've been actually doing some stuff
this last couple
of weeks.
Oh, yeah, serious stuff, wasn't it?
Serious stuff. The first thing we've done is go back to the Hartnell years for some Doctor Who. Pause for music. So, Scott Ling, tell people what we've been watching.
We've been watching The Reign of Terror from 1964, though set in the 18th century, of course. And it's the closing story of the first series.
It was the final story of the first series.
That's it.
I'd never seen this. I'd read the book.
Yeah.
What a cracking story.
Yeah. It is. I don't know what it is about it, because usually I'm not really that engrossed in the historicals, because they're quite long, aren't they?
Pure history.
Yeah, it's a six-part in this one.
This one I love watching. Even with the two missing episodes growing up, I loved watching this story because you just knew you were getting to Napoleon and everything at the end.
And that's the thing, it's just pure history, isn't it?
Yeah.
There's
no
the only alien influence.
The only
the
alien thing is the TARDIS crew.
Yeah.
That's it.
It's one of those that isn't played for comedy like the Romans, but there's plenty of comedy in it along the way.
There are comedic moments, but it's not played for comedy.
But there are also quite horrific moments, quite aptly for...
It was like William Hartnell was surrounded by horrific events, but he just almost played it for comedy through a lot of it, didn't he?
It's when they took him into the countryside and just made him walk through a field. That was the first outside broadcast.
I'm not sure. I think that was his stuntman.
Yeah, it wasn't actually Hartnell.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it was Hartnell, but someone dressed as Hartnell.
Yeah.
You know, they probably somewhere around Red Hill.
But it's shocking, isn't it? That actually exists, that first footage on location.
Yeah.
But, a couple of things. He obviously gets to do a lot of dressing up in this one.
He does, yeah.
And assume many different roles and be very funny doing it. And then he gets part... It's put into a chain gang, doesn't he?
Really? For no apparent reason.
I don't know what use he'd be. But...
Long time, wrong place.
Yeah.
This story, though, we'd had the Censorites where Susan was coming into her own.
Yeah.
And then this story basically summed up why Carol Ann Ford was getting fed up with the character.
Yeah, she was scared of rats and everything.
It takes place directly after Censorites.
Yeah. So. And suddenly she's gone from this competent young woman to this screaming little ninny who you'd think had wandered into the TARDIS and had no experience with going back and forward in time.
Yeah. I just have to say, your face when she jumped on the bed because of the rat.
She actually did Tom and Jerry.
Yeah. And Barbara had to stop with the escape plan just to comfort her. She went, "Oh, it's okay, we won't bother escaping."
Yeah.
You're too whiny.
About to have your head lopped off.
It's worse than that because, unlike other members of the cast, she wasn't on holiday, but she may as well have been. She was off sick, doing nothing.
Yeah, she was sick when they were rescued by the rebellion, and then she was locked in a room for...
But she wasn't absent, she was actually there.
She was there.
And just didn't have anything to do.
Yeah.
Come to think, there is one other piece of location work, and that is the animals from the London Zoo, isn't it, that they insert into where they're looking out the window of the prison cell.
Oh, yes.
So they have a live horse, don't they, on set at one point.
But there were some horrific things, like that, you know, there was the double murder at the beginning, or execution, if you want to call it that, at the beginning.
That was pretty horrific. One of them gets shot in the face.
Well, it was Robespierre, and that was historically accurate. The only thing that wasn't accurate is that he tried to kill himself. It wasn't that he was shot by one of the other soldiers.
Well, they left it ambiguous in the version.
You didn't see him get shot. You just heard the shot, and then see him getting dragged out of the room with his hands.
His face.
It's unclear.
He could have been reaching for someone else's pistol and trying to shoot himself. himself in the face.
And I can remember learning about that in middle school before I saw the episode, and then seeing that bit. And it was really weird because that never happened before. Usually Doctor Who taught me about his historical events, but the other way around with that one, which was quite nice.
So there's like 9 year old you going, oh, I know all this.
Yeah.
Does Susan apparently.
Yeah.
In Earthly Child, she reads through a book about French Revolution.
Yeah. She does.
That's not right.
Yeah.
But she doesn't know nothing about it when she actually gets there.
Dennis Spooner has a lot to answer for because it's like he didn't even try to write for her character.
No.
And there's so much she could have done.
I suppose the
equivalent of pushing her out the airlock.
Yeah.
Although the whole French Revolution thing, it opens and closes then effectively their first series, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's quite a neat little bookend.
Yeah. Not that Spooner knew anything about it.
No. But I did like that first bit, the first cliffhanger where the Doctor's sort of unconscious and burning in the house.
Ooh.
And
then
he's rescued by a little boy.
Jean-Pierre.
Jean-Pierre. In every textbook.
And I loved the two missing episodes, the animated episodes. Mm. I thought the animation was wonderful.
I'm glad you said that. Go on.
Well, the animation was wonderful. Though I had a problem with the first animated episode. Because there are gaps and silence, well, they're doing something.
Frenetic.
It did try to cover it by cuts.
It did.
And you had in about a space of 5 seconds, you had about five different cuts from different angles.
Like, look, I can draw eyes.
Yeah.
It was
unnecessary.
But particularly when Jules was in... Was it Jules?
Yeah.
Yeah, was in the room with Barbara and going out. Yes, that seemed to be very blatant there.
So are we coming to the end of the title? Has something dramatic been said? Is this EastEnders?
Now, it's funny you say that, because I remember when the DVD came out, and that was the main problem with the animation that people picked up on, was the direction in places. Because I don't know if they had telesnaps for this one, did they?
They might have done.
I agree with you, Karen. I think this is one of the better animated episodes because it's got depth. It's got shading.
Exactly.
It's got
when
darkness.
When the sun was coming through the trees and you had the sunbeams, I thought that was lovely.
Good.
Good likenesses and the lighting on the faces as well.
Oh, yeah. Caroline Ford and Jacqueline Hill, their likenesses in particular were very, very good.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I don't know if it's the same company, but I think it was a similar style to when they animated Moonbase and Tenth Planet. That's my favourite style.
Yeah, it's the Big Finish group, wasn't it?
Yeah. Gary Russell and everything, wasn't it? Yeah, I remember him talking about that. But I think that the weaker ones were possibly like the Ice Warriors, very cartoony and wobbly, and that Web of Fear one. That was terrible.
Don't go there. Don't go there.
No.
My thoughts on Web of Fear are known.
Yes, but I do like the way it all sort of wraps up in that last episode where you've got Ian and Barbara, one of them working in the bar, one out back.
Putting on weird West Country accents.
I got Ian's West Country Marmoset accent. You're in the middle of France.
Well, but then none of them putting on French accents. They're not doing hello here.
He might have been from Bologna in Paris.
I love it when you see Barbara getting really excited that Napoleon's just walked in. She's like bragging to Ian.
She's a history teacher.
Throw people out.
And
can I get your autograph?
And they didn't fall into the usual trap of assuming Napoleon was short when he wasn't.
He was
about average for the time he lived in.
That was a propaganda thing by the British government.
Yeah.
I think what this story does very well is obviously they go to a famous historical event. They can't tamper with it, but they tackle it in the story, don't they? That's
it's little things. They do little things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But considering it's 6 episodes, there's a lot of adventure, considering they can't really get involved.
They do
the main hits, don't they?
I really do miss these kind of stories compared to the modern day ones now, where everything has got to have an alien monster in it as the villain. I love the stories where we're actually going back and yes, we are dealing with historical stuff, or where it's just a human that is just being utterly total git.
But the thing is, it's not just the modern way. It's Hartnell, maybe Troughton, were the last ones to do, the only ones to do the straight history ones. Because by the time you got to John Pertwee, you've got Santarans going back to medieval England.
It's a shame
they dropped it.
Again, that Troughton one, that Highlanders, it did a lot more comedy, didn't it? They got the balance, I think, right with this one. It wasn't too comical.
I think it's a case of they dropped it because the ratings weren't there. There seemed to be a definite rating drop off for the historicals.
Yes.
That's why
I tell you, one that would have been perfect if they'd cut out the silly alien interference thing was Rosa.
Yeah, yeah. That's a similar thing.
They could have done that just as pure history.
But could they, though?
Yeah, they could have done quite easily. And
that would just be observing events that we know. Well,
again, not
necessarily. If they do it where one of the companions has screwed something up.
Maybe.
And they got to get time back on track to fix it.
Yeah, possibly.
And, you know, that's a great way to teach children.
Yeah.
Because when they did the fires of Pompeii, my colleague's wife is a teacher and blamed me personally for the fact that her class, who was learning about Pompeii at that point, kept telling her there was a monster in the volcano.
How did she know there wasn't?
Funny, I asked that question and he said, I'm not asking her that, I have to live with her.
Yeah, it's interesting. I did listen to the audio book from the Target version.
Yes, I have.
And they go to great trouble in there to explain that they're speaking French.
Oh, really? Yeah, yes, that's right.
How, I think, is it Ian? His French isn't quite as good. Yeah, how all the TARDIS crew are speaking French.
Okay.
Out of their own French knowledge.
So, not the translation, sir.
That hadn't been established at that point.
No, that's very clever. Because everyone spoke English, the whole universe.
Yeah, and it was never brought up in the TV version.
Yeah.
Which makes sense, because then if it does, you think about, what about the Aztecs? Yeah. Or the cavemen? Or Marco Polo?
It's conveniently forgotten.
Yeah.
Or perhaps he hadn't installed it yet.
But it does make it weird that the Target book actually really highlights the fact that, they need to know French to be able to communicate.
Well, this is why Ian ended up being that Mummerset character, because he didn't quite talk proper.
Well, again, on the flip side, this is the TARDIS. The circuits could have malfunctioned.
Yeah.
Just for that episode.
It was always going wrong, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But no, it was such a good episode.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I wasn't expecting to enjoy it this much, because I looked it up to see how many episodes it was and kind of went when I realised it was six.
Yeah.
But we blitzed it in one sitting, didn't we?
It went at a fair pace. That's the thing,
there was no filler. It wasn't like, oh, God, why were the 60s so slow?
Yeah. I've had a complaint, is they spent too much time at the prison.
Yeah.
The prison guard guy was effectively the main character, guest character.
He was wonderful.
He was in all of it, pretty much, whereas the other ones came in and went a bit more.
I loved the jailer.
That was the only issue. But I was impressed with how they covered William Russell's holiday. He was away for two episodes.
Yeah.
Mm. But they actually pre-filmed stuff.
They did.
Just
put
in.
Dropped
to
it in.
To cover the fact he's away.
Yeah.
Which is a lot more trouble than they went to later on, where they just had people unconscious.
Yeah.
For an episode.
Or turned invisible.
Yeah.
Yeah. They did that with the Aztecs as well, didn't they? When Carol Ann Fall was off for two weeks, it was only a four-parter. They shoved her in school, didn't they, to be re-educated on film and then just inserted it in. So it was a nice little way of keeping them in and getting them credited. I don't know if you noticed, this one ended with an outro sequence of them
getting all their clothes off.
A close off where they're all sort of standing in the TARDIS talking about their future in the stars and things like that.
Yes,
as you said, it was the end of a season.
And they do it with the time meddler at the end of the next series, don't they? We're all staring into space and white out.
That reminds me, wasn't it convenient that chest of clothes they found, the two dresses, fit exactly two women of very different heights?
Yeah.
Yes. Otherwise, amazing Ian and the Doctor works. Would have had to wear them.
Well, indeed, yeah.
It's the fact that they had two dresses and one set of male clothes. It would have been humorous if they had three dresses.
Ian does have nice legs. So the Doctor sold traded his entire clothes.
Yeah,
he got his
ring back though.
So, what underneath his Clive of India outfit was he Starkers?
Well,
probably.
He had spares in the wardrobe room.
Okay.
He was covered with that cloak, wasn't he?
He was. All right, then. Would you recommend people watch this?
Yes.
If you haven't seen it, definitely watch it. Yeah. Yes.
Is the animation okay?
The animation is more than okay.
Right. Tune into BBC iPlayer. Ooh, that reminds me, before you do.
Uh-oh.
Episode 3, the sound of it was really wibbly-wobbly.
Yeah.
It was like, was it just our telly didn't like episode 3?
I didn't notice
that. The sound was...
I noticed that as well, and I thought, is there something strange with this? Yeah. I had to go out and back in just to make sure it was.
It's interesting that they've re-enhanced it on the DVD, but they haven't enhanced it on the download. Because the picture was slightly more grainier as
it
well.
It was, yeah, and the sound was...
Oh, it's been remastered usually, hasn't it? In that case, don't do iPlayer. Go for the DVD.
I would say that the iPlayer... Episode three, I think, was certainly not remastered in any way or treated in any way.
It was remastered very badly.
We discovered that with the Dalek Master Plan episode two, didn't we? Where that the recently discovered episodes were crystal clear, but the middle episode was a bit ropey.
Yeah, that's right.
Anyway, as I was saying, write to us via show.
Staggering
stories.
.net.
Woo-hoo. Couldn't William Russell waited a few weeks to go on holiday?
Yeah, nearly season.
I want holiday and I want it now!
What, how many episodes a year was it on? Like 46 or something?
I was saying, and Jacqueline Hill went on holiday during the Censorites, didn't she? Yeah.
It usually happens in a line, doesn't it? Yeah. Hartnell disappear, then Jackie, Carol. Yeah.
There kind of been a big gap, maybe a few weeks between season one and two production.
Literally. Just a bit of a breather to do some promotion.
But if the gap's in like November, you can't go to the beach in November. No. Well, you can, but you'll get swept away.
We've also been watching some streaming things.
Oh, okay.
Good Omens, the finale.
Pause for music. I'm going to let you chaps talk about this because I didn't watch it again and I honestly can't remember much about it. Apart from the end, which made me cry.
Yeah. So this was Series 3 and it was movie style.
Yes.
Wasn't it?
Oh. There's one particular episode, but it was about an hour and a half or 2 hours.
Yeah, it's at least 90 minutes, I think a bit more.
Yeah, 97 minutes.
Yep.
So is this condensed? A condensed season?
Yes, I think so.
A lot happened. It shot past, didn't it?
Overall, I enjoyed this, but didn't enjoy it as much as the first two.
Okay.
To my mind, it lagged slightly in the middle.
Oh, really?
And there were certain plot threads that seemed to go nowhere. But that's probably because the whole thing had been curtailed.
So there was too much in there.
They couldn't explore it all.
When I watched it and it started with the recap, I don't remember watching the second one. I don't know if I'll spoil it for myself, so I'll have to go back and watch it.
Rewatch it just in case.
Yeah, I definitely watched the first one. I remember reviewing that. And
there was a definite time jump between the end of the second one and this one. That's something that Azrael, I'll just call him Azzy. He I think you said he was like 6 years or something.
Though it's unclear if time passes in the same way.
In heaven.
Heaven, the good place, as it does on Earth.
Well, I would say a lot had happened in Wickber Street as well, because Wickber Street really was not looking too wonderful. A lot
of people had moved out, shops had closed.
Yes.
You had rats running around. So, yeah, time has definitely moved on. It doesn't seem to be for the better. Things have generally gotten worse.
It definitely looked grimmer and murkier, didn't it, the way it was shot?
Still cleared in a soundstage.
Yeah.
obviously shot inside that particular street.
Yeah.
More electric cars driving around because they can't do Russian cars in the studio.
It's a standing set, so, yeah.
Presumably they rebuilt it because that would have been standing for quite a while between productions.
Yes.
I don't know. I'd imagine things do get put into storage and taken out again. Maybe. So,
and we have Derek Jacobi back in there, didn't we? Always enjoys it. Yeah,
yeah, he didn't have very much to do.
Yeah, no. A little bit at the beginning and a bit at the end. Yeah.
We have them setting up for the second coming.
Yes,
that's right.
And so it looks like the apocalypse is on again.
Yes,
but this time he just wants everyone to be really nice to each other. It's that kind of apocalypse
because it's now. It's now Azrael in charge of the apocalypse, or in charge of the second coming.
Is he in charge of heaven at this point?
Basically, he's taken over the angel.
He's kind of sort of the top guy with the Metatron above him. Yeah. Still.
He's taken over Gabriel's role.
Yes,
that's right.
Because Gabriel's went AWOL in the second series, but it's being done in the Asriel fashion, so it's not going to be the end times. It's going to be peace on Earth.
That's it.
Yeah, maybe just get something, be nice to each other.
Yeah, yeah.
So, they drag Jesus back to a corporeal form.
Yes,
and isn't he lovely? That's the only way you describe him. He's so sweet, so lovely, so innocent. Yeah, naive.
Yeah,
and he's still telling the same old stories, isn't he? He's got to find a more modern way to interact with everyone.
Something about fishing, isn't it?
Yeah. This is all about fishing.
And I do like the fact that, you know, where's that other guy? The tall one with the red head and the strange yellow eyes.
The worst possible influence.
Yeah. He showed me so many things.
Yeah. And, they meet up right at the beginning when he first goes down to Earth, Jesus, don't they? And then he doesn't realise who he is.
Yeah. Well, at the time, Crowley is
astonishingly drunk.
Definitely fallen on very hard times. Yeah.
Extremely hungover in an
alley. The Bentley's gone now.
Yeah. Sean Pertwee has stolen his car.
Pertwee.
I was so excited to see Sean. Was he in the previous series?
No.
This was just one for this series.
Yeah, just this one.
That's it. You couldn't help but think John, though, couldn't you? The older he gets, the more he looks and sounds like.
Well, there was that Halloween shot that he did with in a grey wig with a frock
with
coat.
The frock coat, yeah. It's so good. And I'm trying to remember what happened next.
Well, it's
somebody starting killing off some of the
The Metatron goes missing.
Yes.
And the Book of Life has gone missing.
Right.
That's right, yes.
And also, Jesus has decided to go down to Earth by himself. He's wandered off into the lift and pressed the Earth.
He's technically missing.
Yeah, so technically he's missing as well.
Everything vital is now missing.
Yes.
And it becomes a very short, compressed quest to find all these things.
Well, I mean, Jesus walks into
a bar.
No. Runs into a con artist.
Harry the Fish.
Yeah. Played by
Mark Addy.
Recently of Game of Thrones fame, but more importantly,
Rance Avcol or whatever.
Yeah,
but it was a cafe where you met him.
Yeah, it may have been a cafe.
It was a cafe. He was having like a breakfast or something.
And this because Crowley tells him to learn about the
find the lady.
So it's the three card trick, which Harry the Fish knows all about. Mm-hmm. But that story thread just seems to end. It doesn't seem to go into anything, really.
Well, that whole entire Jesus thing doesn't really go very far.
That's what I meant. That's why I think this, for me, this suffered, because stories didn't, various story trails didn't actually have a resolution. They just stopped.
Yeah, I mean, that setup, really.
That one, it did lead to him basically bring some comfort to the people of Wicker Street.
But then it
ended because
Marvelled out, didn't it? Everyone just went to pieces.
That was one of my problems with it. It didn't.
There's not a satisfactory conclusion to that.
You had
thread,
the setups, but you didn't have the finisher.
Yeah. And you never really got to see Jesus again, did you?
No, that was the last.
So presumably in the restart universe, it didn't exist anyway.
No, you weren't allowed gods, angels, demons, anything.
So meanwhile, we have someone unknown is using the Book of Life to off various angels, demons, people, buildings, planets.
And did you guess correctly? Because I did.
It was pretty obvious.
on a rewatch, I wasn't sure to begin with. One of the angels,
Uriel, I think it was.
Uriel has gone mad.
Yes.
And
for no readily apparent reason.
Maybe
it was in the book. Maybe it was cut out.
Well, there's no book of this.
There's no book for this one.
It's only the first one.
Only the first series. Because I think I remember when we mentioned this was continuing, I wasn't all that happy.
No, because it was originally done by Terry Pratchett
and Neil Gaiman. It was just the one book, which was the first series.
That was nice at the end, they had the portrait of Pratchett, didn't they?
Yes.
By the end of it, we only have the bookshop, Crowley, Asriel, and also God and the Devil.
Yeah. Yes.
Right at the end.
Yeah, Toby Jones as Satan.
Yes. Oh, yes. Mm. Yeah. Very good casting. Mm.
Yes. He played it quite well, didn't he?
He did. Mm. A bit Dream Lord.
Yes.
I was just thinking that.
Sarky Dream Lord. Mm. And then we have the final ending, because they challenge God to reproduce the world, but without their influence.
I just want to give Tennant a shout out here for selling the as the heart.
Yeah, oh
of
god,
their.
Yeah.
I mean, he was you could see here that right the way through, Crowley really had the backs of everyone in the world. Yeah. I mean, he was behind them 100% and wanting to have free will. That was his goal all along. I mean, that would make him the happiest angel, demon, whatever.
As you said, throughout the whole run, Crowley hasn't been on the side of the angels, hasn't been on the side of the devils. He has, to use his own words, been on our side.
Yeah, I'd say that actually. David Tennant, great actor, but somehow he was best in this. It really shone through with his character.
And as I said, the last couple of scenes of Good Omens.
The rebooted universe were absolutely beautiful, and I cried.
Yes, heartbreaking.
They filmed in real locations, too. It suddenly wasn't on a set.
It was
a real road.
But also,
and you could tell.
Also, the fact that one of the very first lines in the first series is, "It begins as it will end in a garden."
One of the first lines. But it's just the idea that they've just spent their lives together. That's how they want it to end.
Absolutely made for each other, despite all the arguing every episode.
Because of all the arguing.
Yeah, they hold hands watching shooting stars.
What was the line? I've got the universe, I've got my wine, I've got you.
What else? What more could I want?
Yeah. although when Crowley did go into the bookshop asking for a book, and I half expected him to say his name was J.R. Holly.
Yeah, it seemed like a bit of a reference, didn't it? Yeah.
I do like that the library goes, "Oh, I could probably let you have it for half price. We've got loads of these." And he's just like, "Oh, I'm rather hurt." And he's got two boxes of them sitting at home in his garage as well.
And also the fact that Derek is a good friend.
Yeah.
The other Derek Jacobi, the other guy.
Derek.
They all appeared, didn't they?
Yes.
Yeah. Different forms.
Oh, yeah.
All the cast were there in the pub at the end.
Yeah.
And Derek picks up on them liking each other. Is he going after him?
Derek is a true friend. Yeah. Go after him.
Oh, it was good. That was a perfect ending.
Yeah.
It was a good ending,
As I said, to me, it sort of lagged and lacked something in the middle, but the ending more than made up for it.
Yeah.
Jesus was very cute, wasn't he? I wanted to ruffle Jesus, and I think that's probably frowned upon.
I knew I was going to like him when I saw his little smile as he ate the cheese toastie.
Yeah.
I think it's very fitting. I don't know if... Because also they discussed it, Gaiman and Pratchett.
Yeah.
Don't know how much they decided, but it feels like this is quite a Pratchett ending.
Yes.
Because it is effectively demolishing God.
Yeah.
It is an atheist ending.
Yeah.
To something which is very...
Very much up his alley. Yeah. So if you get the chance, I would say, please watch it and tell us what you think at
show
at
staggering
stories
dot
net.
I got two there.
You did.
We got all this way in, and although we picked up his head, we didn't exactly say hello.
We did not. Mm. We should do that now. Perhaps there's another song to go with him. One, two, three.
No, please.
Hello, Head of Pertwee.
Hello, Terence. Hello, Dave Zilla the Mighty. Hello, goats.
Folded up properly into the chair, Clara, with the birthday hat on.
Yay.
And Dangerous no Churchill.
Brunhilde Nobnacker.
Sandy.
And the goats.
And Moomin.
And Moomin.
Moomin's kind of getting further and further behind those coats every week.
Did we also say Inky and Dinky and Rinky
McSquirtsalot? Inky,
Dinky
and Rinky McSquirtsalot. Yeah.
Various nebulas.
Handles.
And Velmas. Various Velmas.
Mm-hmm. This Dangerous is a disturbing Churchill. Living room, you know that.
I get the feeling things are watching me.
Right, now we're also absent Crumbly, but for a much less dramatic reason.
Yes.
He's simply been kidnapped by aliens. Yeah, but he has sent us a Crumbly's Corner.
Crumbly's Corner!
Hello, Crumbly here.
Hello.
Sorry
Hello.
I'm not the last podcast, but given the French theme of our Doctor Who segment, I am currently on my grandes vacances at the moment. But I would like to share my thoughts once more on what is being discussed here tonight. First up is the William Hartnell episode, The Reign of Terror. The Doctor, Susan, Ian and Barbara find themselves in revolutionary France, where a lot of the French nobility are having trouble keeping their heads on their shoulders and their underwear clean. This is a history-based episode with not a single bug-eyed monster in sight. The only monsters are the Revolutionary Guards carrying out the numerous executions going on. I'm sorry, but I couldn't watch this episode without thinking of Carry On, Don't Lose Your Head, and the exploits of the Black Fingernail and his adversary, Citizen Camembert. Our protagonists get caught up with Le Resistance. Everyone gets captured at various times, and Susan and Barbara have a date with Madame Guillotine. I think Barbara will be okay, actually, as the blade would just bounce off that hairstyle of hers. The Doctor takes the guise of a regional governor and comes into contact with the mysterious Monsieur Lemaitre. Okay, I throw my hands up and thought Lemaitre was the master, but he turned out to be an English Scarlet Pimpernel type character. So, unfortunately, no Anthony Ainslie type. Your will is weak, Doctor. I was impressed by the animation in the missing episodes. Lots of close-up of characters' eyes and lots of burning glances and narrowing eyelids. One thing I did find inadvertently funny was Robespierre having a rather protruding lower lip, which did give him the appearance of a rather dandified Thunderbirds puppet. All in all, a good historical episode that followed in the wake of The Censorites. Now, on to part Le Dixième, and the third and final instalment of Good Omens, by Terry Pratchett and Neil Gaiman. Aziraphale has been promoted, and is now in charge of arranging the Second Coming, but sadly Crowley is down on his luck, sleeping in a Soho alleyway, having been kicked out of his lodgings by the oddly named and rather formidable Mrs. Sandwich. Jesus has gone missing, and it's down to our two unlikely protagonists to find him. In the meantime, Jesus has been updated and is presented as a wide-eyed innocent, dispensing our wisdom and pizza to the inhabitants of Soho. Both David Tennant and Michael Sheen both shine in their roles as the reluctant demon Crowley and the fussy but good-natured angel Aziraphale. There is a plot involving a missing very important book and the end of days. As for the final scenes and the ending, to coin a phrase, it leaves you with a warm fuzzy feeling, and the final scenes with Crowley and Aziraphale leave you saying, "Ah!" Binge watch all three seasons, you will not be disappointed. Anyway, that brings me, my ramblings to an end. So, I'll be back in the studio for the next podcast. So, until then, this is me, Crumbly, saying,
be seeing you.
Thank you, Crumbly.
Thank you, Crumbles.
That's a great quotable rambling, isn't it, there? Wisdom and pizza.
Yeah. Do we have any feedback?
We do have a bit of audio feedback.
Wow. Wow.
The laziest of all feedbacks.
We didn't mean that. We didn't mean
it means
that.
We don't have
nobody
to read
writes
it.
Anymore.
Oh, lazy for us.
Yes, it's lazy for us.
Ah, right. Excellent recovery there, young Scott. Is it perhaps Reese?
It is from Reese.
Oh.
Why did you sound disappointed?
Hello, Steggerers, and hello to the other animate and inanimate objects in the room, including the head of Pertwee and cardboard Grunhilde Knobnacker and cardboard Clara, dangerous Churchill Nazi Spot, the Moomins, the Goats, the McSquirtalots of the Inky and Dinky variety. And everyone else. I'm not going to try and remember you all now. I've once again left it late on the day you are going to record, but it's very late in the day in that it's evening and I'm getting quite tired. So I'm just going to quickly put this feedback together for you all.
Thank you.
And just thank you all for answering my question about what films you might pick up on physical media. And I really enjoyed your discussion about physical media because I agree with you entirely that, you know, things leave streaming services all the time and you might be in the middle of watching something and then suddenly it leaves one and goes to another one or is just taken away for good.
Yes.
Like the Willow TV show they did. Disney made it and then it's gone. It doesn't exist anymore.
Nope.
Yeah.
And, you know, Doctor Who's got that. The Gutwa seasons are not going to be on AMC.
Nope.
But it's just not going to be there because Disney part owns it, part made it. Fair enough, actually. Disney put the money into it. It should be on Disney Plus. But, yeah, that sort of thing. I agree with your logic and I appreciate the discussion. However, I've realized there's a bit of a theme going on and I'm going to cap off this theme. We talked about nostalgia. You guys were talking about your sci-fi memories and I talked about how I got into sci-fi just usually through Doctor Who repeats and watching Star Wars VHSs over and over again. Mm-hmm. Then I told a story about how I recorded Return of the Jedi off TV.
Yep.
And then last time I asked you what films of this year would you get on physical media that you've seen? And now I'm going to ask you another question,
oh dear,
which is what films are you most looking forward to that are coming up, if you know of them? Okay. I personally am going to partake in what people are calling Dune's Day, which is watching Dune Part 3 and Avengers Doomsday on the same day. I will probably try and get an early screening of Dune and then go and stretch my legs and grab a lunch and then an afternoon screening of Avengers, because I think if it's anything like the other two movies, Dune will be a 2.5 hour film at least.
Yeah.
And if it's like Endgame, Avengers will be 3. But they're both coming out on the 18th of December. And I'm looking forward to them both because I love both of those franchises a lot. I really like Denis Villeneuve's directing for the Dune films. And I'm looking forward to him capping off what is a trilogy for him. But there are more books than that. But he's doing those three. He's doing the first book and Dune Messiah. Just to make it clear that Paul's not a great person. I like the Avengers. I like Marvel on the whole. So, yes, I'm going to partake in that. And that's sort of what I'm most looking forward to. I mean, we've just had The Odyssey come out, and I went to see that, and that was excellent. The effects look great. The pioneering technology to be able to film with IMAX the whole time was good. If you didn't know, and if any of your listeners didn't know, IMAX cameras are huge. They've got a very big film stock, and the flicking of the film as it's recording is quite loud. It sounds like a little motor. So you couldn't do one-on-one scenes. You couldn't do a whispered scene in the dark or something like that. Or you couldn't do a Trojan horse espionage thing quietly. Mm. So Chris Nolan worked with a team to create a big box for it to go in, essentially. And it's actually fascinating that it's so big, you can't do close-ups in a conversation. You can't do a two-person conversation. So they have two mirrors set up. So you're looking in the mirror, which is angled, so it's looking at another mirror, which is angled that it's looking at the eye line of the other person that you're talking to. Oh,
wow.
So they had to improvise with this new technology.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was great. It was a really good film. I really liked it. Maybe a tad long, but I've been saying that about most Nolan films recently. Yeah. I love them. He's very clever. He's got an amazing pool of actors he usually pulls from. They were in this, as well as in Tenet, as well as in Interstellar, as well as in Dark Knight Rises. That's when he started working with Anne Hathaway, for example. And she's come back quite often. But yes, I really liked that. I was looking forward to that, but I'm not now. So the two I'm mainly looking forward to now are the two parts of Dune's Day. So yeah, what are you guys looking forward to? I'll touch upon this just because I've mentioned it a few times, but I do just want to say I agree more with Fake Keith than I do the rest of you about Supergirl. I can see why you had a kind of a lukewarm reaction to it, but I thoroughly enjoyed it. And I think one of the reasons why it failed at the box office is there is a contingent online who, like various grifting politicians, like to prey on the worst intentions of people.
Yeah.
So they talk about how something is woke and it's bad and it's woke and it's just part of an agenda to, I don't know, make straight white men look bad, and they play the victim and they say, don't go and watch this. Don't support James Gunn, for example, in his efforts because he replaced Zack Snyder, and Zack Snyder apparently didn't do that sort of thing, even though his characters were still pretty woke. It's so silly and so petty.
Yep.
And because of those people, it's been kind of hard to tell what reactions are sort of natural. And is it just that sort of a film where it is a middle ground sort of film? You don't love it or you don't hate it. It's just fine. Yeah. Or is it an extremely bad film or is it an extremely good film? I find it very good. Maybe not extremely good, but I find it very good. And it was good to hear a conversation from people like you, whose opinions I trust and who are good at having a conversation about it instead of saying, no, it's the best thing since sliced bread. No, it's the worst thing since stepping on dog Lego. Poo or something like that. And then walking inside, stepping on dog poo and bringing it inside. It's that bad. No. You don't talk like that about things. And I appreciate that. I just, like I said, happen to be more agreeing with Fake Keith than the rest of you, but whatever. That might be the last time I bring that up until the end of the year when, hopefully, I don't know if he's available, but I'll be recording with Adam and doing a retrospective of the year.
Ooh,
actually, and don't let me suggest things for your podcast. If you don't want to do them, don't do them. Maybe you guys could do a list of your favorite films, maybe top 5 of the year, and a list of your favorite TV shows of the year.
Yes.
Because I really like that sort of thing. I think it's good to look back at the year and see what's happened and look, what we could look forward to in the next year. Mm. But I think that's it for me. And while I'm making it a habit to record on the day that you're recording the podcast, I'm also actually managing to keep these under 10 minutes, which I know that shouldn't sound impressive, but for me it is because I like waffle. Anyway, have a good one, Staggerers. Speak to you later.
Thank you, Reese.
Thank you, Reese.
The film I'm looking forward to most is the Acme film.
Yes.
Acme. Resident Evil. We've got one of those coming out at some point. I do like the Resident Evil films.
Not a film, but it is going to be on Amazon Prime. I'm looking forward to the 8-episode Carrie season.
Oh, yes.
They're redoing Carrie, but it's being done by Mike Flanagan. Right. And that's a name I always try to look out for.
Yeah, they just dropped a trailer of that to Comic-Con as well.
Yeah, I think I've missed it now, but I was looking forward to seeing the Backrooms movie.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
did anyone see that?
They did do extended release of that recently, didn't they?
Oh, okay. I think so, yeah.
But... So it might still be on the extended version.
I wanted to go and see The Odyssey in the actual 70mm IMAX actual film stock.
Waterloo.
But there's only three cinemas in the UK with that kind of projection technology. Yep. One is the BFI at Waterloo.
Yeah.
The other one is the British Museum, and the other one's up at Manchester. And the ones down here, all sold out.
Of course.
All the way through, right to the end of August, all sold out.
Not surprised.
I am looking forward also wanting to catch the next Spider-Man.
Yes. Yeah, Spider-Man, I want to see it. I'm trying to think what else there is to come up. Obviously, June 3, yes.
And I was wrong. It's Doomsday is not released on my birthday. It's like 3 days after, so...
You lie! Yeah. J'accuse!
Again with the French accent.
That wasn't a French accent. Well, obviously.
Who's this J'accuse guy anyway?
Oh, he lives next door.
Oh, okay.
He said, if anyone ever lies to you, call me and I'll come and thump him.
Right.
You have got Street Fighter, if that's your thing, apparently.
No.
Again.
I hope it's not. Yeah.
You've got the Hunger Games at some point.
That's a prequel, isn't it?
Yeah.
I saw the first couple of those. They're quite good.
Yeah, I saw all the main series. I didn't see The Ballad of Songbird and Snakes, which was the first prequel.
Prequel, yeah.
So I think this one is a one that's coming after that one.
I think, yeah, the first games. And this is
the first prequel was an early version of Snow.
I don't know.
Anyway.
Yeah, but we should do more retrospective stuff, shouldn't
we?
Yes. I think we have done a bit in the past, at the beginning of the, or end of the year, we've done a...
We shall have to hole it in for a December podcast.
Yes. Yeah, or January maybe. Yeah.
Right. Any more feedback?
I think that is it.
And so, that brings us to the end of another podcast.
Oh. Thank God.
But never fear,
no
next time it'll be more of the same.
No.
More fun, frivolity and jollity, more news and reviews, more who, old and new. So until that...
E for egg. Extremely...
Exhausting.
And exciting.
Exaggerated.
Edible elephant.
comes.
Excruciatingly.
Easily. Towards us.
This is me, Jay, saying... Cheerio.
Farewell.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
A lie can run around the world before the truth has even got its boots on.
You have been listening to the Staggering Stories podcast, series 1, number 503, featuring Adam Purcell, Fake Keith, Asdaman, Jay, and the real Keith Dunn. The views expressed here are those of the speakers and don't necessarily represent those of the other speakers or the site. No copyright infringement is intended. This has been an El Presidente production for www.staggeringstories.net.
I certainly remember when the Queen died because I'd had dinner with you that evening.
So it was your fault?
No.
He needed an alibi.
You are deaf?
No.
Incarnate.
I was out of the country at the time, yeah.
Yeah, well, so you say.
I was waiting for them to announce it, but you could kind of tell, couldn't you, by all the news building?
Oh, yeah, as soon as the presenters all suddenly put their black ties on and it's like, yeah, okay, when are they going to announce it? She's already gone. Yeah. Am I flashing too?
Again, please stop
Am
it.
Am I flashing too?
You are.
Flash, 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 flash. Flash?
I refuse to flash. I'll just blink.
Buzzkill.
I'll just blink.
Did you say splink?
Blink, blink. Not splink. Splink.
I think that's enough.
That was very good.
That was. We were ever so quiet.
I began panicking. I was looking at the shelves going, find something unfunny, and I spotted the white cat peeking out. No, no, don't look there. Look anywhere else but there.
She fixes you with her laser beam stare.
Casualty music.
Casualty music or Crime Watch music?
Casualty music.
Okay. I think, yeah, casualty makes a little bit more sense.
It does.
Yes.
Do all men refer to it as their water thing?
I do. Yes. I do.
Why is it my playmate?
I need to link in the toilet. Excuse me.
I think we need a dehumidifier now.
Duggan's died.
Oh.
We can add that to the end. We'll announce it. Oh, carry on. Sorry.
Okay.
We were talking. It was hilarious.
Lost my train of thought. Now I'm depressed.
The street looked.
Crumbly's Corner!
Woo! I'm not sure what that woo was.
Pitiful.
It was pitiful. I'm rather embarrassed by that.
It's not like it's been caught on you know, audio or anything.
It won't be immortalised throughout all the time.
We won't definitely leave it in. Oh, that's my half of the podcast to edit.
Well, you know what?
And that will stay in too.
Put it on loop.
Woo. 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 Put it to a beat. Oh my god, that's an idea.
You could load it into a synthesizer and get it as different notes.
Yeah.
Make a whole tune out of that.
Yep.
Enough.